Today marks the end of my Rage Against the War Machine rally in Washington, D.C. coverage. I wanted to share with you some of the interviews with the people that came to attend the rally, not the people that were backstage, not the speakers, but rather the people that were there in order to support the message. I asked them questions about what drew them there, what they expected out of the day, and here's the conversations that I captured. And then tomorrow, I'm going to start talking about the headlines from this week. There was a uranium fire in Tennessee. We have factories starting to burn. And I want to find out, are these covert acts of war against the United States? Or are we just really aware of what's going on? So we're going to get to that on tomorrow's show. But for now, we're going to focus back in D.C. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the Founding Fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, Bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. I am your host, Greg Bolden, here on the America Out Loud Network. Be sure to go to www.americaoutloud.com, where you can see all the other great radio hosts, as well as podcasters, the people offering their columns throughout the week. Just great, great news, an America First network here on America Out Loud. Today, I'm going back to Washington, D.C., and my coverage on Sunday, where I sat alongside several individuals before the rally and one during the rally to find out what drove them to want to attend this. What were they attracted to about the information? What I found was three completely different individuals in their backgrounds. One person was of Russian and Ukrainian heritage. Another person had served in the military. And then the other one came from upstate New York and really just has a passion for the anti-war message. And then I also spoke with Diane Sayre. Now, Diane Sayre has ran previously for elected office, and she will be running for Senate in New York against Gillibrand. So you're going to hear from their four voices today, and that's going to be the show. And then tomorrow I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk to you about what has been going on this week. I mean, is our country at war? And so I have a special guest for you all I'm going to be talking to about that. So let's get straight started. At the very beginning of my day, I got there about 4 hours, 3.5 hours before the rally began. And I saw that there was this gentleman walking with a cane. And he was younger. He looked like he was in maybe his mid to late 20s. That's my guess. Maybe like 28, 29. And so he's walking with this cane with a boot on his foot. And he comes down, he sits alongside me, and we're on a kind of a lawn bench, so he's on the other side. And I just introduced myself to him. I didn't know anybody there at that moment. And we struck up a conversation, and then I said, hey, you know what? I have this recorder in my backpack. Would you care to talk? And that's where we start this conversation. Welcome, Bold Americans. I am sitting here in front of the Lincoln Memorial with somebody who drove all the way across the country. Well, flew part of the way and then drove from Tennessee to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, trains, planes, and automobiles.
Absolutely. And so your name's Harrison, right?
Yes, sir. I'm Harrison.
All right, Harrison. So what brought you out here? Like, why did you find the need from California to Washington, D.C. to traverse across the country?
Well, I was, looking into this Ukraine and Russian war for quite a bit, and just the things didn't add up. I was in 1st Tank Battalion in the Marine Corps and 1st Marine Division, and a lot of the stories that I heard from 1st Tank Battalion sounds like what's going on from the Russian invasion to the Ukraine. They have their own story, they have their own motive, and they think what they're doing is right. And I was just like, okay, so make us a hypocrite if we do one thing, and if they can't do another, then what's really truly right?
Yeah, I think what concerns a ton of Americans right now is the amount of money that D.C. is tossing over to the war, mm-hmm. and whether we're looking like an aggressor at this point. You've
Absolutely.
Served before. Do you feel from your experience in military that this gives the impression that we are the aggressor as well?
I would say so. Giving arms to the people that are fighting against another force is an aggression.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So that's why we're here today. One of the things is to end the war in the Ukraine as far as our involvement in it. We'd like to broker a peace deal.
Yeah, hopefully. Amen for that. Because, you know, I think they've had talks about peace deals, but it's always Western involvement trying to say that we must continue the war effort is what stops those peace agreements from actually happening.
Yeah, that's a shame, too.
It is.
You know, what's really special about today is we're bringing together a bunch of political parties under one umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Libertarian Party here. We had Democrat Party here. Mm-hmm. We had the Republican Party, the Green Party.
Yeah.
How awesome is it to see that all these different ideologies are coming together for one purpose?
It's quite nice. It's absolutely. Because, you know, I voted Republican this last election for Donald Trump, but that was between Sleepy Joe. And, you know, otherwise I would have voted a Democrat for Tulsi Gabbard, which is going to be here. You know, like a lot of people that I admire is coming to this event, and these people, they are people to look to for guidance and leadership under this country. And I don't know how they get picked, but, you know, Tulsi should have been on the presidential candidate list.
Well, Tulsi was never going to get onto the presidential list because of her worldviews.
Yes, exactly.
She's very similar to Ron Paul mm-hmm. in the non-interventionalism side. Now, she also served in the military, which I believe gives her a perspective on that.
Yes.
Ron Paul was a person that really opened my eyes back around 2005, 2006,
mm-hmm.
When he just started talking about, we're going to bankrupt our country with endless wars. We're going to bankrupt our country getting money from China.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a prophet.
Yes, absolutely. Other than my pastor back in California, he made a silly little book, but I liked reading it. But a lot of things people can predict because of what they do or they choose to continue doing to the present time now.
You know, Harrison, I want to just tell my listeners another part of your commitment.
Uh-huh.
So you're walking with a cane.
Yes.
It looks like you have an air cast on your foot. You're wearing a boot right now.
Yeah, the cool kids call it the moon boot.
The moon boot, right?
Yes.
But yet, you're walking all across Washington, D.C. right now. You spent some time in Arlington yesterday?
Yes, I spent Arlington at the Civil War burial site, like the dedication to it. I went and I visited JFK's Forever Flame and his brother Bobby Kennedy, and those people I admire as well. They were trying to do what was right for this country, and I mean that's why I'm here in Washington D.C. right now, to do what is right for this country.
Now, this is your first time in D.C., correct?
That is correct.
So
yes.
I just want your gut response, like walking around, seeing all these buildings, seeing our nation's capital. What is your how is your emotional response? How has it been to see where the country, you know, where the magic happens?
So it kind of reminds me of California, the traffic, for sure. A lot of traffic around here. But just seeing these monuments and seeing these things that define what the Capitol is, the Washington Monument, the Lincoln, even the gravesite, these places, they do keep it in good condition, and it does bring honor to our capital. The one thing is the civilians, they seem quite privileged. I'll say that. They got a lot of money. I see yachts all over the place.
Yeah, there's a little bit of money in this area along the Potomac, and you could say there's a little bit of money.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
And now you know why when the politicians come here, they all get richer.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Everybody with their fancy little dogs and whatnot. I mean, it's just a way to show your wealth here.
Right.
Absolutely. And I understand how they get richer. I mean, if they're, you know, like, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but
there's plenty of special interest in this town already in lobbyists.
Special interest. That's a good way to describe it. I saw a South African flag, actually, and there was a lot of, and it was around the yacht area. And, I mean, they must have had something going on, so they must have an interest here, too.
Ooh, sounds interesting. Sounds spicy. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, it was across the water, so I couldn't go too close.
Right. Yeah, well, who knows what's above us right now, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. balloons or UFOs, yeah. Whatever it is nowadays.
A $12 balloon from a little Boy Scout being shot down by a $400 million Sidewinder missile.
Goodness gracious.
Gotta love
Joe
Biden's wisdom.
Oh, yeah. The authorities, like, shoot it down. I don't care what it is.
Although, I don't want to put that all on him because, you know, there's generals and plenty of people in the military have to back that as well. So
I mean, you have to get confirmation from those people. It's not supposed to be a presidential order. They're supposed to be, like, chain of command.
Right.
And, like, if I ever skip chain of command, I would get a roasting under my bum. Like, I would definitely not be okay the next day. Right. Yeah, if I did something on my own orders.
So when are you heading back?
To Tennessee.
Tennessee, California, on your way back to home. Or how long are you staying in?
I will be staying here till Monday. Then I leave the Holiday Inn, and I will be traveling back because I got to return my rental car on Tuesday. Excellent. At noon.
Well, I wish you safe travels. I thank you for your service.
Yes, thank
and,
you.
And I hope that this rally kicks major butt.
Absolutely.
Have a good time at it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so that was my conversation with Harrison. What a pleasure. Hopefully, Harrison, you found yourself safely back in California at this point in time. After that conversation, I decided to walk down to the front of the stage area where I saw a man holding an American flag. And he had this dedication. He was standing there all by himself, probably the first person to walk up directly to the barricade where the speech was about to happen a few hours later. And so I just figured, hey, let me go say hi. And as I'm talking to him, I said the same thing. Would you like to talk? Welcome, Bold Americans. I found another person. He is the first person I saw standing in front of the stage around 9:30. It's 10:15 right now. Tell me your name. Where are you coming from?
I'm coming from North Carolina. My name is Daniel.
Daniel, nice to meet you. So why did you want to be here today?
Well, I've been keeping up with this whole Ukraine against Russia, but it to me, it's very important because my lineage is Russian, but I have a lot of family from Ukraine. So both sides are affected by this whole situation.
All right. Wow. Now, I'm going to go straight for straight to the tough question. There are people that say because we're trying to have a rally to end the war, broker mm-hmm. peace, there are people saying that this is a pro-Russia rally. You're Russian. You want the best for both sides. You don't want to see family die. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're just wanting peace. So if you think about it logically, NATO was launched as a defensive organization, and now it's acting like an offensive bully. So to me, it's just the whole thing is just messed up.
Now, when you say they're acting as an offensive bully, you're looking at it from the perspective of coming in and fortifying and fighting back against Russia? Or
well,
how are you looking at that?
They've sponsored this whole war. They've essentially, what they've done is give all of our taxpayer money to Ukraine, and I kind of funneled everything. So, I mean, if you think about it, if they didn't pay for the war, then how would Ukraine stand up to Russia? It would be over.
Right. But, okay, so let's ask another question, because I believe in peace between Ukraine and respecting their sovereign borders.
Absolutely.
As well as Russia, respect their sovereign borders. I don't think NATO should go any further
yeah.
to try to get into Russia, right? Like, that's not their job, peacekeeping. But if NATO didn't get involved, how do you think the conflict would have
It would have never happened if NATO didn't push so close to the Russian border. Essentially, I think why Putin invaded Ukraine is because NATO just came so close to Russia, and they asked them, you know, this is as far as you go. And I feel like the conversations that Ukraine had with America, saying actively saying that we want to be a part of NATO, that pushed Putin over the edge.
Yeah. So most of the mainstream media and stuff, the way they report this is that Russia just unprovoked attacked
Absolutely.
The Ukraine.
Yeah.
That's not the story.
How is it?
Right. What is the story then? Is it NATO and their involvement and wanting to be that Russia said, hey, we got to retake these territories? Why
Absolutely.
Do you think Russia
I mean,
started?
What if we allowed Russia to put their troops in Mexico? How would America feel if we put Russian troops near Mexico and American border? I mean, essentially, that's the same situation.
That's fair.
Yeah. So NATO is too close, and Putin doesn't want that.
All right. So what speakers are you excited to see today?
I am so fired up about Jackson Hinkle and Tulsi Gabbard. I can't wait to hear them speak. They're two of my biggest heroes right now.
Excellent. Have you ever heard Ron Paul speak before?
I have on YouTube.
Okay. So yes. Ron Paul, back in 2005, I used to go to his rallies and stuff. He's a lot of the reason why I started the format that I have.
Okay.
I just great speaker, but most of what he said about non-interventionalism, a lot of the points that you were just making, these are things he was talking about, the consequences we were going to see in the future, and they've all
right.
started coming true.
Yes.
So I'm curious if he's up there today saying, I tried to warn you all, you didn't listen.
I wouldn't doubt it if he actually did that. Ron Paul is a character. He's a very hard person to figure out. But essentially what I like about Ron Paul is, even though he's complex, he's very simple speaking. So yep. I feel like we're going to hear a lot of truth today.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. That's why I'm here. Came down. I'm so glad that you came down too. And so glad
all right, that is my conversation with Dan, right. another person that came from California. Now, people would say that, you know,
Dan, for his views, is a pro-Russia sympathizer. This is a gentleman who, before the interview, said, I'm sorry, sir, where can we do this interview? Because I can't put this flag down. He had the American flag in his hands, and he was concerned that the flag would touch the ground. Does that sound like somebody who is a pro-Russian influencer that's attending this rally? I heard somebody who was really concerned about their family lineage between Russia and Ukraine, concerned about humanity. And so after the break, I'm going to talk to a gentleman who is from Rochester. Then after that, we're going to hear from Diane Sayre and wrap up our coverage from the rally. But before we do that, we got to have a word from our sponsor so we can keep the light on. Make sure you guys check out the Genesis HOCL Fogger. It helps keep you safe from bacteria, helps keep you safe from the germs, the viruses, as well as it even helps treat for mold. You can spray it in your place of business, your residence. It's completely safe around your pets and your family. And you can go to www.genesisfogger.com/outloud and get a discount on one just for listening to my show. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be right back, everybody.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
America OUTLOUD beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutloud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. The liberty and justice for all.
Old Americans, welcome back. Second half of the show, we're going to hear from Dave from Rochester. Now, I realize that that sounds a lot like I'm back in my radio days. We have Dave from Rochester on the line. Dave, how you doing today? Except I'm just going to cue up the audio from Sunday. Dave was standing behind me in the press area. They had a barricade that separated the press from people in attendance, and you could stand behind the stage and watch, or you could stand down below. And there were about somewhere between, I'd say, 3,000 to 4,000 people. And these are Dave's words. All right, Bold Americans, the rally has started. I am standing here with, what's your name, sir?
My name's Dave. Dave Hardinsky out of New York.
All right, Dave. And you're from Rochester, is that what you said?
That's right, Rochester.
All right, about how long did it take you to get down to D.C. for this?
About 7 hours, maybe a little over with some stops in between.
That's worth it. That's some commitment. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are you hoping gets accomplished today? You know, here we are. We have all these great speakers. What do you hope to see after today?
Well, I hope to see a growing coalition of people that begin to come to the reality that we're very, very close to nuclear Armageddon. And, you know, hopefully we will just bring... what's the word I'm looking for? Bring it to light. Bring to light that that a lot of people aren't for this war rally. A lot of people aren't for it. We're looking to get this thing over with.
Yeah, the mainstream news doesn't really cover the realities of our entanglement at this point in time.
Not at all.
And that's what, it's nice to see all these different politicians from all these different ideologies, right? We got the Green Party, we got somebody from the Republican Party, we got Democrat Party, Libertarians. You'd never see this in politics.
Never.
So that's encouraging. Now, there is people that are saying, well, what if we're successful and we end this and then Russia just takes land? Should we care about that, in your opinion?
Well, certainly we should, but I don't see that as the direction this is going. To me, that is pure Western propaganda that Russia intends to take over the entirety of the world. In fact, from my point of view, that's what the West is trying to do, is control everything, resources, trade, finance, and they do things like they are able to do that through control of the SWIFT system, so that locks down people's economics world over, and it's frankly it's an aggressive, it's a war play to do such a thing.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time talking. Enjoyed the talks today. All right,
thank you.
So those were my conversations with Dave, with Harrison, and Dan, and I enjoyed speaking with so many other people. But I did not have my recorder with me as I was walking around. I left that in the press area. At one point, a person came up, I guess they were a PR person. They said, would you like an interview with Diane Sayre? And I knew that she was one of the speakers because I had done my homework on that. But I was unfamiliar with really who Diane Sayre is. And so I quickly picked up my phone and I was like, let me do some quick research, rudimentary, make sure that I can speak as eloquently as possible and ask some good questions. What I found was somebody who claims that there is election fraud. And before I say that, hey, this is the most amazing evidence that you've ever heard, she also used to work for Lyndon LaRoche. Now, Lyndon LaRoche passed away, I believe, in 2019, but he was somebody who had been, I guess, accused of being a conspiracy theorist throughout his life, and that started back in the 70s. Definitely took some very very controversial opinions during his career. It led him to being called an anti-Semite. He sued for like $20+ million at one point in time, and the Supreme Court said, based upon your statements, that it was a reasonable insight that somebody said. So he did not make it any further into fighting back the anti-Semitic comments. But I say this because he was somebody who definitely had a fanatical but small following in his lifetime. And the fact that Diane used to work for him, I thought was of interest. And I just figured, in being a full disclosure to my listening audience with the claims that she makes about election fraud and stuff, I'm just curious, you know, can you trust her view? Was she influenced at all by this? And I would love to interview Diane further about her views about things, because it's not Lyndon's. But they gave me this booklet called Stop NATO's World War, Dismantle the International Assassination Bureau, which is part of the LaRoche organization. And so I have this here. It asked me to join this. And it says, basically, it wants to stop global annihilation by freeing the truth. And so I'm curious, what is the truth? But before we can get there, this once again, my friend Pat Ford from the Coalition Network, he was staying alongside me. He wanted to do a video of Diane. And this interview is going to be a tag team interview of Diane and Pat and myself, because I didn't really know her well enough and I wanted him to kind of lead the way. And then you'll hear my voice come in. So making his first voice appearance on America Emboldened is Pat Ford, my good friend from Rhode Island. And so this is our interview with
Coalition Radio Network. And
this is Greg Bolton from America Out Loud.
So we're tag teaming today, and right in front of me is Diane Sayre. She is a candidate for the United States Senate in New York State, as running as an independent. Now, you're running against, in this cycle,
Kirsten Gillibrand.
Wow, okay. So this is This is going to be Rock'em Sock'em Robots. You're here, you've taken the time to come down to D.C. about the seminal issue of our times, which is against, obviously, the war machine. Speak to us about your thoughts on Ukraine, about the incredible expense and the incredible, as they would call it, investment being made in freedom of the Ukraine, which is really nothing more than the greatest weapons garage sale potentially in American history. But what drove you to come here today?
Because, you know, the expression from Belshazzar's feast, many, many tekel of harsin, the writing's on the wall, you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. And the American people are going to be judged in history, by history, for our lack of action. People around the world don't care if our elections are rigged, if we're media blacks us out, if we are banned on social media. They're saying, why aren't you in the streets opposing what is being done in your name to make millions of people suffer all over the world?
Excellent. So, Greg Bolden, America Emboldened. So, I guess I want to know, what causes somebody to want to run for Senate in today's environment? So I'm kind of curious about that.
Insanity, perhaps.
So what was the motivating factor?
Well, you know, I worked with Lyndon LaRouche for 35 years. He ran for president 8 yeah. times. And when he became too old to run anymore, as he said, he asked a group of us younger people to run for federal office. So I ran for Congress back in 2010, 2012. And the whole point, he said, was leadership. That you have to create a presidential platform of leadership of which way the nation has to go. And I think our nation is so lacking in leadership. And we tend to have an ideology that leadership means I'm better than everyone else. That is not leadership. Leadership is a quality of inspiration. We should have thousands of people running for office who are qualified. But we don't, and therefore I felt that perhaps my voice could help in that issue.
And so you're running as an independent. Events like today, it's refreshing to see different ideologies all under one umbrella for one cause. Is it possible for libertarians, Green Party, more independents to get more seats in upcoming elections? Do you see a path forward with events like today?
That's a very good question. I think it is possible, but only if we clean up the elections. I think we don't really know what the American people think. I think the fraud, am I allowed to say this
on
this platform,
absolutely,
is far more massive than people realize. And it's many different ways. It's not just stealing your vote.
I was going to say, how have you seen the fraud? Because I've talked to different people about, some people have given me some concrete. Have you seen it in New York?
In my own race, first of all, I turned in 66,000 signatures to place my name on the ballot. By midnight on election night, my vote was inching up to 55,000. I thought, well, maybe they'll at least say I got as many votes as I got signatures, you know.
Right.
So that's what I thought it was. When I woke up the next morning, people said, you have 25,000 votes. And I said, well, I had 55,000 last night. It was actually down to 30,000 by the morning. And by the Friday after the election, it was down to 25,000. And I have the figures from each county board of elections showing that my vote, that I'm not making it up. So I think that's just right in your face, very clear evidence of something.
The state of New York has been particularly vicious when it comes to third-party candidacies.
Correct.
Much like Lucy pulling the football, they continue to move the target in terms of ballot signatures necessary. Put together some really egregious laws a couple years ago. They were thrown out in court, and then incredibly enough, I believe it's a budget amendment, they
Correct.
Readjusted the numbers so that they couldn't be under attack from a court. You know, speak to the logistics of just simply getting on the ballot as an American in an American state for a federal position.
Sure. First of all, in the state of New York, it was already extremely difficult because if you were running in a statewide race for any party or independent, the requirement was 15,000 signatures, but not over 6 months, in 6 weeks.
Right.
And many people were unable to do that, like John McCain. Running for president with the whole Republican Party behind him, could not get on the ballot. He had to go to court. So if that was not bad enough, the two major parties, Republican and Democrat, and then the fake little parties, conservative and working families, who are just shadow extra lines for those parties.
Right, the fusion candidates.
Right, got together to mandate that if you wanted to demonstrate you were not a quote-unquote frivolous candidate, that you had to get triple the number of signatures.
Right.
And that meant 45,000 valid signatures of registered voters in a six-week period.
Incredibly enough, here's some useless political trivia. Until very recently, you had to be a New York resident to actually petition. My name, Pat Ford, I was actually the first person in New York State history to be an out-of-stater allowed to actually gather petitions.
Great.
In Albany at a flower festival, which we sat out for hours and hours trying to just... My final question, you know...
Wait, I just want to do a shout out to Gary Denoyan for that lawsuit.
Right.
Which I was on. That was great. He's got to give him the credit.
Right now, the Democratic Party in particular is paying a lot of attention to making it easier for people to vote. Yet at the same time, they're working aggressively to limit the number of candidates. Isn't that a form of voter suppression?
Absolutely. It is suppression. And frankly, they're not really trying to make it easier for people to vote, but easier to play games. Whoever heard of an election being a season instead of a day? That's unheard of anywhere in the world. People think we're nuts.
So my final question, just about today. You know, you've gotten up, you've spoken. What do you want to see happen in the days that follow this rally? What do you hope to come out of today?
I hope this grows. There's another rally being planned by some people who wouldn't appear here for March 18th. We should have double, triple, quadruple the numbers. I and some of my younger staff members who've become more famous have been disrupting various congressional town halls, AOC and every other one. I had a lovely breakfast with Chuck Schumer where I managed to bring in a bullhorn and
wow.
Have a little talk with him before they carried me away.
I need video. That's awesome.
I've got a video. And we need to do that. We should not allow these representatives to lie to us, especially if they're running around the world claiming that we're bringing democracy to people. It's such a fraud.
In the name of freedom, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Diane, it's been a pleasure. I wish you all the best.
Thank you
Absolutely.
So much.
Thank you.
So that was my interview with Diane Sayre with Pat Ford from the Coalition Network. Thank you, Pat, for getting some video on that as well. You guys can check out Pat's work over on Twitter at @coalition_radio. But he's on all different formats, and his website's coalitionradionetwork.com. That way you can check out what he's doing. I'm going to say I left this interview for last. The reason I left it for last, as I covered this entire rally, is not to end on a sour note, because I feel that the entire rally was something that was extremely positive. But if I was to look at one person when I'm getting these messages saying, hey, you know what, this here is a pro-Russia rally, these people have ties to Russia, or these people are anti-Semitic, I would say that maybe some of that criticism came from the fact that there was Diane tied to the LaRouche organization, and the fact that they handed me out this booklet, and that this is a title that has kind of went along, the anti-Semitic title, for years. In many ways, the fascism title has gone along with him as well for years. So I could see why somebody would connect the dots between the two. But that's not enough for me to carte blanche paint anybody in any way, shape, or form. I really did appreciate my conversation with her. And so, Diane, I have an open invite for you to come on to my show to address some of the concerns of the LaRouche organization, of the years of accusations towards Lyndon, and to talk about where your policies, where your politics are a little bit separate. I also will give you my word that I will read the magazine, I'm going to call it a magazine, that you've given to me in order to prepare for that. And I appreciate that you gave me that so that way I can understand the other side. Tomorrow, listeners, I'm going to start covering what's going on in the world. There have been so many things that I've wanted to discuss on my show this week. Everything from Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments about the nation needing a national divorce to her comment about black people. Yes. Oh, God. It's like, if you haven't caught this yet, Marjorie Taylor Greene and AOC are my two least favorite people. They represent, I believe, what's bad about the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. That's my opinion. I'd welcome them onto the show if they ever would want to come onto the show, but I just disagree completely with their take on things. Also, I've wanted to talk more about what's going on with these buildings that are exploding, these accidents that are happening, whether this is larger awareness or are we finally starting to see some type of hacking in the systems causing problems? Are we seeing tampering, some covert agencies in the covert war? Is this a response to Nord Stream? I want to go into that. I want to talk about that. So I found a hazmat specialist, and we will talk to him for Friday's show. That's all, everybody. Hope that I've honored your time well. I also hope that you've enjoyed the coverage live from D.C. this week. It was a pleasure to bring it to you. We're going to close that chapter, though, of the show. I'll wait to have some follow-ups with some other individuals. I got some great guests, people that I met while I was down there that you'll have appearing on future shows here within the next week or two. I hope that you are enjoying your week. Get ready for Friday, everybody. The weekend is coming. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.